Amen. Thank you. Way to respond on the pennies. We couldn't even put them all in there. It'd be falling over. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me just share something with you real quickly. You know that I have a habit of letting you out on time, don't I? I'm going to break that habit today. But I'm going to preach fast. First service, I did it in 15 minutes, okay? So I can do this. I'm going to let you out a little bit late, but you'll forgive me, right? If you need to leave, just leave. You know, what can I do? Anyway, Luke 19, stand as you read God's word. I love this passage. We're going to go through it quickly. The kids, you really already went through it with the kids. Triumphal entry of Christ. It says, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead of going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, tell him the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray that you'll, in these few minutes, speak to our hearts about the message you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we see this story, one of the things that we need to understand that Jesus, King Jesus, was determined to die for us. He came on purpose to Jerusalem. This wasn't an accident. It wasn't a trap. He came on purpose to die for us. He was motivated by his love for us. That's what motivated him to come. He came out of his great love for us to give himself for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. The scripture says in Romans 6:5, for God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. It's proof, evidence of God's great love for us, what Jesus Christ came to do. When he came, we need to understand he was full of courage. I mean, this is one of the most courageous things anybody's ever done. He's walking into the town where people wanted him dead. The people who were in control of the town wanted to kill him. And he walks in, rides in on a donkey, announcing to the whole town, I'm here. Here I am. Here I am. Courage. He came on purpose. He came full of courage. And he came in complete control. Don't think for a minute that anybody was in control besides Jesus. Everything that happened to him on this last week, he allowed to have happened to him. He could have opted out at any moment. He had all those angels in heaven that could have helped him. He could have got out of it at any moment, but he chose to go through. He was in complete control of the situation. That's why he told his disciples, the Father loves me because I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. He came to lay his life down, to give his life for us. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on that day, he was openly claiming to be the Messiah. Openly claiming to be the Messiah. He is fulfilling prophecy. There's a prophecy that was given 500 years before Jesus rode into Jerusalem through the prophet Zechariah. It says this. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. 500 years earlier, this was written. Jesus Christ came at this moment in time, the Passover celebration. And what does he do? He sends his disciples to get the colt, the foal of a donkey, to ride into Jerusalem on. When he's doing this, make no mistake, he is publicly declaring, I am the Messiah. Before, remember, you always tell people, be quiet. Don't tell anybody about this. Now it's time. I am the Messiah. Publicly declaring the fact that he is the Messiah, fulfilling the prophecy. He was also identifying with the line of David. God had promised King David that out of his family would come a king that would rule forever. A king that would rule forever. Those are the days, Jeremiah says, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. That's a prophecy that Jesus Christ fulfilled. He came riding a donkey as King David rode a donkey, fulfilling the prophecy to be the promised king. And he came to bring peace, came to bring peace. Jesus could have come on a white stallion with millions of angels with him in power and glory and majesty, but he came humbly on a donkey, the colt of a donkey, bringing peace. He will come someday in power and glory and splendor to judge the world, but the first time he came into Jerusalem, this time, he was coming to offer peace through his death on the cross. The scripture says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Peace through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ allowed the people to proclaim him as king. This is the only time in the scripture, really, where the group of people like this proclaim Jesus to be the king. We see it in the book of Revelation, but here we see the people proclaiming him to be the king. The people, as he came over this hill, they welcomed him. Jesus coming with the people who are with him over from Bethany, over the Mount of Olives, down the Mount of Olives, in the Kidron Valley, back up the other side into Jerusalem. There was a crowd of people both with him and meeting him and all along the way, and they welcomed Jesus. They laid their cloaks down on the ground. They put palm branches down on the ground. They were excited. It was a great celebration, and they welcomed Jesus. And they praised God because of Jesus. As they came over that hill, it says, the people began to praise God. They were praising. It was an impromptu praise service that just erupted on that hillside. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, they said. Peace in heaven on earth and glory in the highest. They praised God because of Jesus. They didn't understand everything Jesus was going to do yet. They didn't really understand exactly who he was. But they praised God because of Jesus. Jesus was glorifying God. John 14 says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. They proclaimed Jesus as King, as King. Shouts of blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord filled the air. Jesus the King, he came to rule in the hearts of people who would receive him by faith. Nathanael, years earlier, one of the early disciples, had said, whoops, I lost that one. Oh, well, there it is. Nathanael, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now the people are all understanding as much as they can that Jesus is King, the coming King. Let's see, the people pronounce peace. Isaiah 53:5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on that great Palm Sunday and everybody praising God because of him, he came to bring peace so that we could have peace with God through what he's going to do for us and dying on the cross. We also see that praise was unstoppable. It's interesting because the Pharisees in the crowd, they don't like this praise to Jesus. And they say, you got to tell these people to stop it. And Jesus said, if they don't praise, even the rocks will cry out. Now, when you go to Israel, one thing there's a lot of is rocks. There's rocks everywhere. Rocks everywhere. And even when Jesus went down the Palm Sunday route, we were there just a month ago, and we walked down that road in Jerusalem. On the left is an ancient cemetery that's been there since the time of Jesus. Jesus would have walked right by that cemetery. And on all these markers, these little boxes they have that mark the grave, people put rocks when they visit the gravesite. I wonder if Jesus was walking down that hill and saw the rocks and said, even those rocks are going to cry out. If they don't praise me, he is worthy of our praise. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, both now and forever. And the people praised him, and no one could stop the praise. The whole world praises God. He created the world. He is worthy of all of our praise. Well, we're going to sing a song. That's probably the fastest sermon I've ever done in my life, but it's going to do it. We're going to sing a song as we end our service. It's important, I think, that we do this. It's a great song celebrating who Jesus is, just like those people on that day celebrated him, who he was, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to celebrate him in closing. Majesty, worship his majesty, and that's who he is, the majestic King. If you need to pray during the song, you can come to the altar, and we'll have a prayer time together and worship our Lord. Let's stand as we sing this great song of praise together.